We are in Parashat Bechukotai. We're going to be finishing the book of Vayikra. this is a very short parasha, but nevertheless, very, very important parasha. It's the parasha of the curses and the blessing. Basically telling you, if you'll do good, you'll get good. You do bad, you'll get bad. Very, very clear out. But nevertheless, there are many different ways of interpreting the parasha. So we're going to learn from the Noam Elimelech, the first ma'amar in the book. Starts with a verse, Im bechukotai telechu, if you will walk in the rules and regulations and the mitzvot that I tell you to do. Nirale, it seems to me, ומתחילה נפרש הפסוק ויעמידם לעד לעולם. In order to explain the parasha more thoroughly, let's first explain a different verse in the Tanakh that says, ויעמידם לעד לעולם, חוק נתן ולא יעבור. He's going to raise them up for eternity, and a law that he gave should chas v'shalom not be desecrated or not fulfilled. והנה עיקר עבודתנו לשם יתברך ברוך הוא, our main focus on our service to Hashem, הוא לייחד ולקשר עולמות עליונים, is to make a unity and to tie between worlds and the worlds above. That's putting it in a very short version. What is our main goal in this universe? Not to eat, not to drink, not to procreate, not to go on Facebook. Rather, to take worlds in the worlds above and to connect them together and bring unity between them. וכתיב בתורה, נצז בתורה, ויעבור השם על פניו. Every day when we read תחנון, what do we say? ויעבור השם על פניו ויקרא. And he will call, השם השם כרחום וחנון. That's what it says. What it means, ויעבור השם על פניו. Hashem crossed his face, so to say, or went through his face. כשהתפלל משה רבנו עליו השלום על ישראל, when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed on the nation of Israel, we just talked about that 5 minutes ago, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, let me just destroy them. Why bother? Let me just delete the file, and we'll start new. We'll bring you a new nation, and you'll be a leader for a new nation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. No, I'm not giving up so easy. And Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for the nation, please don't destroy them. And if you want to destroy them, then get me out of your book. I'm quitting. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for the nation. And it says, ויעבור השם על פניו של זעם. When it says, ויעבור השם על פניו, יעבור means to pass on, or to move on, or to move across. So it says that Hashem, he so to say, he'evir, he passed on the anger that he had. Hashem had anger. I take them out of Mitzrayim and they go and do a golden calf. I take them out of Mitzrayim to take them into the land of Israel and they're sending me 10 spies to come and tell me that the land cannot be conquered. Hashem had anger. But Hashem, so to say, passed on the anger. And it says, Vayikra, and he called. That's what we say every day when we say Tachanun. Vayavor Hashem al panav. Vayikra. Vayavor Hashem al panav. He's now explaining to us that Hashem, when you're angry, you can't hide the anger from your face. You can't be smiling and when you're angry. When you're angry, the face pull down and the eyes get fiery and smoke coming out of ears and your nostrils become big and your fist is already... So when you're angry, you're angry. Hashem also had anger. And oy vavoy, when we get Hashem angry. This is not... You don't want to be around there when Hashem has anger. But nevertheless, it says, Vayavor Hashem al panav. Kadosh Baruch Hu passed on, went above the anger. Vayikra. And he called. What did he call? Hashem. He said, Hashem, Hashem. He said a name's name. Shur Rachamim. The name of Hashem is mercy. אבל כשאנחנו מאחדים ומקשרים עולמות, when we come and we make unity between worlds, and we make, so to say, we knot worlds. That's how you say, you tie worlds, you make a knot between the worlds. כי רצון הבורא יתברך שמו, as is the will of Hashem, אז ממילא הרחמים גוברים. So by default, mercy will overpower. ואין שליטה כלל לפנים של זעם. And then the face that are full of anger doesn't have any control. ואין צריכים להעברת פנים. And then by default, you don't need for the person to relax or to the anger to pass. That's why it's called in Hebrew, העברת פנים, is relaxing, passing on the face of anger. וזהו הפירוש, ויעמידם לעד לעולם. That's the meaning of the verse where it says, ויעמידם לעד לעולם, and he will make them firm, stand firm forever, שהעמיד העולמות כדי לקשרם יחד. That he raised, so to say, the worlds in order to make them united and unified. עם עולם הזה, what do they get united with? With this world. כאשר מובן מפסוק, as we understand from the verse, שמיירי, מהעולמות העליונים, that we understand that he's referring to the worlds above, באמרו, where do we learn that? הללו, מן השמיים, הללו במרומים, הללו כל כוכבי אור, and so forth. The verse in Tehillim says, praise Hashem from the heavens, praise the stars, the everything from the world above. חוק נתן ולא יעבור. He gave us a rule, and you're not allowed to desecrate the rule or to not do the rule. העולמות נקראים חוק, because the worlds are called a חוק, a rule. How do we know? ונרמז בפסוק חוקת עולם. It's hinted in one of the verses that the world, why do we know the world are called chok? Chok is a law, because there's a verse that says chukat olam, the laws of the world. And the script says there, שהשם יתברך ברוך הוא נתן חוק ויש כוח ביד הצדיק לקשרם. הקדוש ברוך הוא made a rule, and we have the opportunity to put it together. ואזי ממילא הרחמים גוברים. And by default, when you do that, then the mercy overpowers. That's what we unbelievable, that's what we talked now for a whole hour. Now he's coming and concluding it, taking the words out of our mouth. This is exactly what we're talking about. We'll make the connection. וזהו לא יעבור. And that's what it means, that he will not pass. Meaning, שאין צריך העברת פנים, you don't have to, so to say, pass on the face of anger. לפי שאין שליטה כלל, הדינים כלל, because the judgment don't have any control when you removing the anger. שהרחמים גוברים, that the mercy overpowers. We need to know that we can't move away the anger, but we can overpower it with mercy. To get the anger or dinim, judgments, to be annulled, that we can do. There's no such a thing. You lie right now, then right away there's a prosecution in the world above. Right away, there's a lawsuit. Just imagine how many lawsuits we have against us. That's why some people don't want Mashiach to come. They're going to see the file. Or you go up to the world above, what do you think they're going to show you in the world above? They're going to come to you with a bouquet of flowers and a box of toffees. They'll come and tell you, you have 15,986 lawsuits against you. Do you have a lawyer? I hope. So that's why all the lawyers are in Gehinnom. That's where they give out the business cards. But nevertheless, don't think for one second they're not going to show you lawsuits against you. Here you lied, here you cheated, here you did this, here you did that. There's going to be lawsuits. Now, if you're smart in this world, you do tshuva. You kill these lawsuits. You basically erase the files when you do tshuva. But if not, don't think for one second you're going to come up, there's going to be a committee of beautiful girls with bouquets of flowers. That's maybe works for the Muslims. But even there, they're frauding them. So you're going to come up there and somebody will going to give you, you know, a big file and tell you, here, deal with it. This is your indictment. So get ready. So, but nevertheless, so we can remove a judgment. If there's a judgment against me, then I can't remove it. The only thing I can do is sweeten the judgment or pass the judgment on somewhere else. But I can't cancel the judgment. Doesn't matter what who I am. I can be the biggest tzaddik in the world. If I still have a sin, then the only way for me to cancel it is either to do tshuva, and that can only be done in this world, or is to sweeten the judgment. How do you sweeten the judgment? You arouse the mercy. You want the mercy to overpower the judgment. That's the only way of doing it. וכיוון שהרחמים גוברים, since the mercy can overpower, אז ממילא השפע הולך הולכות בכל טוב להשפיע על עולם. So if the judgments are overpowered by mercy, then the abundance that's coming from the world above, by default, it will come in a positive way. If you remember, we spoke about last week in Parashat Behar, how it was referring to the sabbatical year. And the question that we presented, what are we going to do in the seventh year? How are we going to get food? So that's basically saying, in other words, I have zero belief that Hashem can take care of me. What are you worried about? You think Hashem cannot provide you? 7 billion people He feeds every day, trillions of animals, He's not going to worry about you? So when I present a little bit of being worried, or that I don't have trust in Hashem, what happens is, all the shefa, all the abundance that is coming from the world above, right away gets blocked. Hashem constantly is showering an abundance on me. I just don't even notice it. Needless to say that I'm not even grateful and appreciative. But Hashem is constantly showering an abundance on me. The second that I disrespect Hashem by saying, I don't believe you, I don't believe you'll take care of me, just by me showing a lack of trust and faith in Hashem, right away, I am the one who's blocking the Shefa from coming. Very simple. Needless to say, when I now add on it a few sins, then it turns completely around, and instead of getting something good, I get something negative. I can only blame myself. But here, when there's a lot of dinim, and the judgments are being aroused, and the face of Hashem is the face of anger, the way to pass that face on is only with arousing mercy. It's almost like that a father sometimes gets upset at the child. Child does something, and right away the child will put on a cute face and sit on his lap and try to calm the father down. So, same thing here. You do something wrong, you arouse the anger of Hashem, and we have to calm it down. We have to arouse a lot of mercy. And by default, when we arouse a lot of mercy, then the Shefa starts coming, flowing down in a very, very positive nature into the world. Mimele Shefa holchot bechol tuv lehashpia l'olam. The Shefa will come, the buns will come to affect the world in a positive way. Al yedei itkashrut hatzadik. How do we do that? Is when the person who's performing the Torah and mitzvot, who is referred to as a tzaddik, that he's making itkashrut, he's making connections in the world above. That's how we connect the physical world, this physical world, we're connecting it to the world above. And that's how we're performing or fulfilling our ultimate purpose. Our purpose is to connect the world below to the world above. And this is what it means, this is the explanation. This is what it means, if you notice, there are three types of mitzvot. Chukim, mishpatim, edut. These are the three categories. The category that is called mishpatim, it's called laws, regular rules, basic rules. And these rules fall under the category that is called mishpatim, and these are all the mitzvot that make sense. That you don't need the Torah for that. Not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to lie. You don't have to be a genius for that. Any person with a little bit of common sense can say, I don't need the Torah for that. These are called mishpatim. Then you have another group of mitzvot that are called edut. Edut is a testimony. And a lot of the mitzvot that we do, they're a testimony for something that happened in the past. Shabbat is a testimony for creating the world, that the world was created. Pesach is a big, very big mitzvah in our year. It's for a testimony that we left Egypt. And Sukkot, it's a testimony that the Kadosh Baruch Hu sat us in Sukkot when we went out of Egypt, and also when Yaakov went out of Haran. So we have a lot of mitzvot that are a testimony for something that happened in the past. And then we have a group of mitzvot that are called chukim. Chok is a law that doesn't make sense. Mikveh, kosher, wool and linen, shatnez, red heifer. Now, all these things even if you will understand a little bit the reason behind it, it doesn't make sense. Why would a bath of water, that with a specific amount of water, that the water was collected from the rain never touched the ground and the rest of the laws, why would that remove impurity? What's impurity? Why would it be impure? Why if I touch this I don't get impure and I touch that I get impure? What, you're telling me that I'm impure? So all these rules, they don't make sense. This is a chok. That's why it's interesting here. It says, im bechukotai telecho. It doesn't say, im bemishpatai telecho. Dafka, if you walk in the path of fulfilling the chukim. So the explanation is, im bechukotai telecho perush, the meaning, shetiyeh holchim ba'olamot olenim. That you should be walking, your path should be connected to the worlds above. Because the world above is called chok. העולמות העליינים נקראים חוק. ותהרהרו במחשבותיכם לקשרם, תפעלו זאת. If my thought all day long is how am I making a connection between the world above to the world below, that's how I'm able to actually apply that. And when it says, אם בחוקותיי תלכו, constantly I have to walk with with my mind is connected to the world above. And what would be the result? What did the Torah says? Im bechukotai telechu, if you walk in the path of my rules, venatati gishmechem beitam, I will give you the rain in its time. Now, of course, it's talking about physical rain, because up until a couple hundred years ago, and even up until today, no rain, no crops, nothing to eat. It's not like today you buy GMO and everything is in cans. But for thousands of years, we all depended on the rain. You had potatoes, I had cucumbers, that person has whatever it is, oranges. So needless to say, we needed the rain. But here it's referring to also the physicality, because geshem, gishmechem, is rain. Comes from the word in Hebrew geshem. Geshem is the root of the word gashmiut, physicality. So it says, "Natati gishmechem beitam," I will give you your gashmiut, your physicality, shegam gashmiut haolam, that also the physicality of the world should be connected to the world above. That they're called a time, as it's mentioned a couple times. Meaning, in other words, that my agenda is to connect, make connections in the world above through the world below. That's what it means. We say that every day when we pray. Your edutecha, the testimony, ne'emnu me'od, they're very trustworthy. We read that every day when we pray, edutecha ne'emnu me'od, and then we find out, we're saying, Hashem lo'orech yamim. So, edutecha is referring to the group of mitzvot that are called edut. Ne'emnu me'od, they're very trustworthy. Ki yadu ha'shamayim v'aretz nikraim edut. As we know that the heavens and the earth are the witnesses of the world. They're called edut, they're witnesses. Kmo shekatuv, ha'edot yibachem, it says in the verse, I will testify for you. And as Rashi explains in Parashat Ha'azinu, she'im yizku, yitnu edut shebaim ha'edim secharam, if they have the merit, then the witness will come and testify exactly what they saw. This is the heaven and the earth in Parashat Ha'azinu, that's what we're referring to. Hazino Shamaim, the heavens are going to be the witnesses for the world that was created. Al Shem v'zeu edutecha she'anachu smechim be'edutecha. And what do we understand from that? That we are rejoicing and rehapping with the testimony be'edutecha hem ha'shamayim v'aretz. The heavens and the earth are the witnesses. She'em ne'emanim me'od, and they're very trustworthy. The heavens never change. Every day it looks the same. The sun comes from east, goes down in the west. Every day they're trustworthy. They're not changing. This is called ne'emanim me'od. When somebody is every day, a person 50 years has the same job, every day shows up on time, does his job. It's a trustworthy worker. After 50 years, you're saying, this guy never missed one day, never called in sick, never was late. This is where you see trust. When you see the sky, the heavens, the earth never change, you're saying, okay, that's a trustworthy witness. She'em ne'emanim od liten scharam. And not only that, the heavens and the earth are also going to get their reward. Aval en simchatenu ikarit, ela shenodim lenu smachot geshmiot. Our happiness and rejoice is not because the witnesses are very, very trustworthy. Rather, because these witnesses that we're referring to, the heaven and the earth, they're giving us our physical sustenance. The heavens is giving us rain and sun, and the earth is giving us crops and food and everything that we need. Ki mikar simchatenu, the main part of our happiness, shegam hagashmiut shelanu yekushar ba'olam ha'elyon. But the main part of our happiness is that our gashmiut, our physicality, is going to be connected to the world above. וזה אנחנו שמחים מאוד, and that's what causes us to be happy. And that's why the verse ends, וזהו לביתך נאווה קודש. As we say, like I said, עדותיך נאמנו מאוד, לביתך נאווה קודש. To your house, it brings in holiness. So, basically saying in other words, to kind of explain it more clear. Our main agenda in this world is to create unity in the world above. That's our agenda. That's if somebody asks you, what's the job description? You are here in this world to make unity in the world above. That's why before we make a mitzvah, we say, L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Shchinteh, for the sake of the unity of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and His Shechina, to make them together, put them together in unity. How do I do that? Is that all day long my mind is in the world above. And I'm not thinking right now, how am I going to make this business deal? How am I going to trick here? How am I going to do that? Or rather, how am I connecting unity in the world above? How am I connecting unity in the world above? By fulfilling the mitzvot, im bechukotai tilecho, that I have to fulfill the mitzvot. What is the result here? Is that when I fulfill the mitzvot, im bechukotai tilecho, v'nitatai natati gishmechem b'itam, I will give you your physical sustenance, the rain, but not only physical rain, rather all the blessings that you need. And this is the physicality. But what is really the result here is the fact that I'm able to connect the physical world to the spiritual world. That's why specifically in this parasha, it's talking about all the rewards one will get. There's only one thing that it doesn't mention. It doesn't mention Gan Eden, Olam Haba. Specifically, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know why the Torah is not talking about Gan Eden? Because all the rewards that this parasha is talking about is the job description. That's it is. When you come to a job, you tell them, what's my job? They tell you, you have to do A, B, and C. They give you the type of the job. But you also get benefits in the job. You get a car, you get a phone, you get an office, and whatever it is, there's part of the job description, you get things. I mean, you can't expect me to do it myself. Now, if you are a freelancer, you are an owner-operator, that's a whole different thing. You come with your own equipment, your own machinery, your own, but you're not. Here, this is a job description. So if you want me to work for you, then give me tools. Give me what I need to do. If not, then don't call me an employee. Call me a freelancer. We are not freelancers. We work for Hashem. We work for the best boss. Most people don't realize that Hashem is the best boss. He never cheats. He never does gezel. He gives you exactly what you need to get. He gives you vacations. People don't understand that working for Hashem is the best thing to do. But nevertheless, Hashem says, I want you to work for me. Here's the job description. And with the job descriptions, you get. There's all sorts of things that you get. This is what the Torah is talking about. About a salary? Want to discuss the salary? We're not talking about a salary right now. We're talking about what the description of the job is. Therefore, the Torah comes and says, I'm not telling you about your salary. Your maskoret, your sachar in Gan Eden, this has nothing to do with it. But really, the real reward is not my salary, is the fact that I'm able to connect my physical world into the world above. And how is that done? Because practically saying, that I want my entire physical life to be holy. I want my entire physical life to be, I can be married to a woman and the marriage will be sacred and holy, and it can be not, and it can be the complete opposite. And I can have a business and the business can be corrupt and I'm going to be cheating people and stealing from people, and my business can be holy. That the money is done in an honest way, the proceeds go to the right place. So I can include everything in the physical world into something spiritual, into the world above, or not. It all depends on me. And then the beautiful connection that we talked about, I mean, we talked an hour before the class about the situation of the world and the coming of Mashiach. This is exactly like to conclude our whole discussion. My agenda here is to make a unity in the world above, is to bring the redemption down to the world. This is connecting the worlds above and the world below. So I can go away, so to say, from the ignore the reality. But what do you think it's going to do? You think it puts any happiness on Hashem's face? It's just going to make Hashem angry. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. If I want to remove the anger from Hashem's face, is I have to arouse a lot of mercy. And how do I arouse a lot of mercy? Is when I'm fulfilling the mitzvot for the sake of Shamayim. When I'm trying to connect unity. If I'm not able to do unity in the world below, how am I going to do unity in the world above? The world above is depending on my actions. So, physically, our actions make a huge difference in the world above. Therefore, we have to understand how important it is, the fact that my entire life has to be around the Torah and focusing on what I need to do. The fact that everybody else is doing it wrong doesn't mean that I have to do it wrong. The fact that everybody is a failure and failed me and went against me doesn't mean that I have to give up and say, okay, the whole world is corrupt and I'm just going to give up. Rather, there was always a few that fought the war of Hashem. Look at Avraham Avinu. One guy. The whole world is corrupt. One guy said, no, but I'm going to go to their side. He was called Avraham HaIvri, the Hebrew. Not because he was speaking Hebrew. Because Ivri comes from the word in Hebrew, Ever. He was, all the world was on one side, and he was on the other side. And you think this is where it was different? How many times in history there was one person, two people, a group, they went against the entire world? So we have to understand that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of hopes in us. He's expecting that each and every one of us will do what we're supposed to do. And this action is to connect the world below to the world above. And specifically, when I'm doing it, b'msirut nefesh, that I'm able to arouse rachamim, to arouse mercy. And right now, we don't know where the whole world is holding. It seems like the world is holding under a strict and severe judgments. That's how it looks like. And if chas v'shalom, all we need is one more judgment to come down, and the world is not going to be in a good situation. But what we need to do is we have to start arousing a lot of mercy. And the way to arouse a lot of mercy is connecting, doing connections in the world above, spiritually. How do I connect the worlds above? Is by following the rules of the Torah. V'chukotai telecho. Because chok is something that is above nature. Practically saying, what I need to do is, first of all, no question here is to follow what the Torah says. But I have to see the Torah, all the laws that don't make sense, and apply that in a way that it's connected to my world below, to the physical world. And needless to say, if we're able to do that, then the reward that we get is natatigish mechem beitam. Not only that we get the physical reward, but rather we get the spiritual reward that, as it says, that edutecha ne'emnu me'od, that there's going to be a witness saying, yes, he did the right thing. And it ends with Levitcha Nava Kodesh, that your house is going to be full of holiness. And it's referring to not only the house in this world, also your house in the world to come. But nevertheless, this should inspire us to, even though the whole world is corrupt, doesn't mean that I have to be not going on the right path. And I have to do the right in the eyes of Hashem. I have to fulfill all the mitzvot and to understand that I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for Hashem, for the sake of the entire world, only so we can arouse mercy on this world. Lord Hashem should merit to feel the mercy of Hashem and not chas v'shalom, the judgment of Hashem.